Okay. Well, first off, I see you've lived in Harford County 54 years. You were born in Baltimore?
I was born in Baltimore City, then moved out to Baltimore County and got interested in agriculture in Baltimore County. Then when Dad sold the farm over there, well, I came over here to Harford County and came over here in January 1926.
Oh.
And been here ever since.
Uh-huh.
Connected with the agricultural extension work as county agricultural agent, as he called them at that time. And served until the last of December 1946. Yeah. 1960.
Hmm.
January 1st, 1960, I retired from extension service here in Harford County. Mm-hmm. They call them extension agents now, which is different from county agricultural agent. It's more of a definite sort of a connotation that they have there,
mm-hmm.
which was quite good. And I served 34 years in the county as agricultural agent, first as assistant agent, and then advanced up to agricultural agent, and had a lot of experiences in Harford County. And it was fortunate to be able to serve that time because that was a period when a great many changes were occurring in Harford County, see, in agriculture generally, see. The farms were getting larger. The family farms were passing out of the picture a little bit. Large-scale operations were coming in, and we saw the first of the gasoline-powered tractors coming into the picture, and the improvement in agricultural machinery was coming in, and the improvement in agricultural crops, and the use of chemicals and things like that were just coming into the picture. Mm-hmm. Then we ran into the Depression, you know, in 29, when everything was up topsy-turvy, and the farmers took a lick, and they couldn't sell their stuff, you know, and all of the boys that had gone to the city to get a job, they came back to stay on the farm, you know, to get enough to eat and help out with Dad. But the farmers made out pretty well, I think, in Harford County. To me, it was the best place in the world to be during the Depression because agriculture prices were fair. The price of milk, which we sold primarily in Harford County, stayed at a reasonable level, and their production, production of crops and things like that was good, and labor was cheap, and fertilizer and everything was cheap, and the farmers got along pretty well. And then the government came into the picture, you know, with these agricultural adjustment acts, you know, to help the farmers get along, and that we in extension we had to put those programs across with the farmers here in the county. And then about 3 years later, that was outlawed as unconstitutional. And then they changed it to the agricultural conservation and something else they call it, you know, which is still in operation at the present time. That's still in operation. And a great many things begin to broaden out. Well, when I came here, there was a little over 700 farms were shipping milk. Producing a family farm, some of them large, you know, 30 cow herd was a big herd. The 50 cow herd, well, Lord bless, that was tremendous, you know. Most of them were 10 or 15 cow herds serving in the county. And then that began to change. And the family farm operated with a family herd began to pass out of the picture because of the increase in and stringent health regulations for production of milk, see. And then they started testing cattle for TB, which is gone. And that was a time, gee whiz. And then the family farm began to drop out, the family and the farms got a little bit larger. Now, at the present time, out of the 700 farms in the county that were producing milk, way back in 1925 and 30, now there's only about 320 farms that are producing milk. But the total production of milk is about the same. With larger herds, see, increased efficiency in the dairy production. And the total milk supply being produced in the county is about the same. The number of cows are a little bit less than they were at that time. So some great things have occurred, and I bless it. Then they start testing dairy cows for TB, you know. That was a going thing. You had to have your herd tested. And the farmers rebelled against that, and we had an awful problem trying to talk the farmers into getting the herds tested for TB and tested slaughter. You know, the government paid them a little compensation for it. And then that got going. Then testing cows for brucellosis, abortion, see, Bang's disease. And we're testing cows for that, see. Then we went all through that production again, you know. But they finally cleared up the county, and the county's considered a healthful county. I don't know what they call it, Kelly, but clear of TB, clear of abortion, and the farmers are enjoying it, you know. And a lot of other things have come into the picture in dairy business, which is primarily the production here in Harford County. I'll talk about some other things later. Mm-hmm. That artificial breeding is coming into the picture, you know. The farmers don't keep any bulls anymore. They breed them artificially from the state stud at College Park, you know, mm-hmm. which has been a tremendous improvement in the breeding and efficiency and pedigrees of the cattle, see, and increased efficiency. They're cutting down on pastures and feeding them on silage and preserved crops, you know. So the efficiency of the dairy industry in Harford County has improved tremendously, see. Artificial breeding has been largely responsible for it, and increased feeding and increased crops and things like that have been for the dairy business. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first came up here, Harford County was noted for growing canning crops, mm-hmm. tomatoes, sweet corn, and a few string beans. There was, when I came up here in 2026, there was 30 canning houses in Harford County. Mm-hmm. A lot of them family operated, you know, but a few larger ones, mm-hmm. see? They can, and it was 6,000 acres of tomatoes being produced in Harford County at that time, going to these individual canning houses, you know. And it was about 4,000 acres of sugar corn being produced going to the canning houses in the county. And then we grew a lot of string beans that were also canned in the county. Now, at the present time, there's only one canning house in Harford County operating canning tomatoes. And there's only... Let's see, there's one operating canning sweet corn. That's Parker Mitchell at Perriman. All the rest have gone out of the picture, see, and reduced. And you got to hunt to find an acreage of tomatoes in Harford County. When we used to have 6,000 acres here in 1926 and 70, gradually the tomato growing industry moved west into Ohio. And now it's down in Arizona and New Mexico, see. Individual canning houses went out of the picture. So that's been quite a change, growing canning houses in the county. Oh, there was a lot of them. There was, within 10 miles of Bel Air, I could mention 10 canning houses right around town here, you know. Clyde Spencer out here at Bel Air, and George Smith at Benson, and Lee Magnus down at Everton, and Albert Jersey over there at Cresswell, and another fellow at Churchville, just right around this meeting, right around the meeting. You go to Jarrettsville, you could take a stone and throw it at canning houses up around Jarrettsville, see. Mm-hmm. They all went out of the picture because of all small canning houses, you know, and bigger operations coming in, more efficient, you know, and they just went out of the picture. But they have made some money. And there's been, it was fortunate to be able to work in the county. The time that I did, for all these changing curries, tractors coming into the power equipment coming in, horses going out of the picture, improving in dairy cattle herds, and artificial breeding, improving in crops, alfalfa came into the picture there, you know, insect control, hybrid corn, and the cooperation with chemicals, use of chemicals, now they no-till corn, plant corn, spray it, you know, don't even cultivate it anymore. Mm-hmm. Wonderful improvement in agriculture. And there's three things, in my opinion, have boosted agriculture that I had a little part of and is improving more since. One of them is artificial breeding, as I mentioned, hybrid corn, and the use of chemicals, and also the cooperation of the farm machinery and commercial interests, you know. They've made tremendous play in equipping and supplying the farmers with modern machinery. They used to be they'd harvest the wheat with a combine and shock it up and thrash it out, you know, as you remember that. And then the combines came in at the picture, you know. And now these great big huge combines, 8 and 10 feet wide, you know, and thrash the grain out and hoist it up into a truck and away we go. See? They sit on a seat and pull the levers, about all the farmer does now. Great big plows coming into the picture and no plowing at all. And tremendous improvement in chemicals, farm machinery, and a general attitude of farmers. Farms are big now. Man, there's several herds in the county, got 150 cows, you know, regular milk factories, see, in the county at the present time. Few of them, see. Mm-hmm. Total production has remained about the same, but the efficiency is tremendous. And they've had to supply all the machinery and equipment they need. You got to be big. You got to have a big operation. Some of these farmers in the county, they have maybe 300 acres of their own, and they're farming another 400 acres, see. 700 acres. A lot of these farmers are farming 600-700 acres with the equipment that they have, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, blessed, I was a combine that you used to buy for about $15,000. Now, $65,000 for a combine, you know. Mm-hmm. And boy, the depreciation operating, you got to keep that thing going. See, and tractors the same way. You got to keep them going to get all the equipment. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful experience here. It's a pleasure to walk in Harford County because you got a grand bunch of people. They live on and operate their own farms. Very few tenant farmers, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're just substantial people. It's been a pleasure to work with. Mm-hmm. Organization. Well, the farm organization used to be the Grange. Was quite popular. When I came up here, they had 8 Granges in Harford County because that was their main organization, mm-hmm. their main collective body for education and entertainment because it didn't have all these other things. Chautauqua was going out of the picture. The Granges took over, see? And then as automobiles came into the picture, the people scattered around different more, and the Granges kind of weakened up. Mm-hmm. Now there's only 4 Granges in Harford County, which are pretty active. And then as a business organization, the Farm Bureau, Harford County Farm Bureau, came into the picture, you know, the nationwide business organization for farmers. Mm-hmm. And that's been quite profitable and quite helpful in Harford County, looking after the business and the political interests of farmers. See, mm-hmm. that's a strong organization in the county, owned and operated by themselves. And then cooperative buying came into the picture with Southern States here, see? That's farmer-owned and operated, cooperated. It started all along about 1928, I guess 30, down in Virginia, and then it spread out from there and came into Harford County. And it's a buying organization that the farmers buy their supplies through that cooperative, you know. And it's also they sell many of the products, corn and wheat, soybeans, they sell those through the cooperative, see, and they get the good adjustment, good guaranteed quality, you know, and if there's anything left over at the end of the year from the cooperative, why, paid back to the farmers in dividends, see, mm-hmm. wonderful, successful operation, yeah, mm-hmm. and it's been a pleasure to work in Harford County because of the people that are here and the progress that they have acquired. Of course, everything has improved the last, you know, well, I've been out of it 20 years now, see. But the changes have occurred. Of course, this over here, when I moved, didn't get married till late in life, I moved here in 1948. This was a cow pasture here, you know. Huh. And Fritz Kelly had that all that end of over there in Hyde Park was an apple orchard, you know. And you go through Bel Air, go out to the old railroad track, the Maryland-Pennsylvania Railroad, there's where the where the hard road stopped, see? And it was a dirt road to Forest Hill, see? Going down the other way, the road went down as far as where the A&P store, or the A&P store is now, Safeway store, rather. Is it from there on down, it was a dirt road, see? Past the old Kenmore Inn was down there, you know? Mm-hmm. And those things have changed now. Everything's spread around. And tremendous. Yeah, tremendous. Mm-hmm. The great things have been. The way Harford County has, how long you been here?
All my life.
Huh?
I'm 28, all my life.
You've been in Harford County all your life, have mm-hmm. you though? Oh, you know something about it, all these changes that have occurred. Mm-hmm. You know something about it then, you know. The way things have boosted up, you know. Of course, what we hate to see is our good, productive agricultural land being absorbed by building lots, you know, and developments of the roads and the highways is going out. Agricultural land has decreased tremendously in the last few years. See, the number of farms have been going down because of the development getting to be, as you know, a bedroom county for Baltimore City, you know, but it's still a grand place to live and a grand bunch of people here in Harford County. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. 1900, there were 8,113 horses in Harford County. Now you got to hunt to find a horse. See?
Yeah.
And most of the horses are riding horses or hunting horses and ponies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Number of farm, 1900, there was 2,431 farms. In 1960, there's 1,300. And now I think it's down around 900 operating farms in the county, see? And the land and farms has reduced from 248,000 acres to about 150,000 acres today, see? Lost that much land out of farmland, you know, but it's still productive. So that's the way it is. The fellow had retired, said, that's the way it is. Okay, what else you got in mind?
When you came, were you already involved with the agricultural extension in Baltimore County?
No, I was just farming over in Baltimore County on my father's farm. Mm. When he sold a farm, why then I had a hunt for a job, and I was interested in this kind of work, so there was an opening here, and I came over here as assistant county agent under the former county agent, Mr. B.B. Derrick. And when he left about a year later, then they gave me the job as county agricultural agent. And I have been here ever since, up until 1960 when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of assistant county agents, you know, that mm-hmm. worked the 4-H club program as they do today, see. And during my time, I guess I must have trained 16 different young fellas in agriculture. And then they'd have a county open up. They'd take him, put him on there, you know, and it was a job to keep things straight while they were gone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were the very, Harford and Baltimore and Kent County were the only counties in the state that had a second operator, second worker, assistant county agent, they call them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when any county would open up, why, they'd take one of those boys and stick him in there, and then I had to train another one. It was kind of tough going, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of tough going to train them. Now it's different. They have two agents in every county. For instance, here we got three agents, see? Agricultural agent, and then the other fellow takes care of the horticultural interest, the home gardeners interest, Mr. Treban, and they have a 4-H agent, a man and a woman, see? So, when I was here, there was just three of us on the staff, agent, and the county at home demonstration, and the county agent and secretary. Now there's nine on that staff down there, you know, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a difference, yes it does.
Well, what did your duties entail when you first started?
Huh?
What did you have to do as the county agent? What were some of your duties?
Oh, well, county agent, see, we're employed by the University of Maryland, see, with an extension operation, and partly subsidized by the county, see. But they're all employed by the University of Maryland in extension, see? Well, for instance, the U.S. Department of Agriculture operates, you know, and they, through all of their research with the department and the state experiment station, all the research that they accomplish, see, the new ideas they develop, Then it's the job of the county agent to get those ideas out to the farmers in the educational program, see? Mm-hmm. We have to take all of the latest information, dissolve it, you know, and interpret it, and get it across to the farmers. And any means available through meetings, direct mail, publications, organizations, newspapers, and things like that. You notice that Mr. Treban, the horticultural agent, has a column in it, eats it every week, see? That's the information we get across. Mm-hmm. Helping the farmers to help themselves and solve some of their problems. Oh, gee whiz, we've had Japanese beetles here some years ago, alfalfa weevils, you know, and all the diseases that hit crops and things like that, you know. We had to be ready with the best experimental information that we had, you know, help the farmers to solve their problems. Mm-hmm. And economics, too, you know. Educational work, primarily an educational job. Mm-hmm. You get to, and it's, well, as I say, it's information is all free to the farmers. See, the publications, the information, and the consultations and things like that is free to the farmers, and sometimes a little hard to sell, you know? You know, the resistance of people, oh, he's a bookworm, you know, we don't want to hear any of that stuff, you know? But they finally come around. Well, I've had a lot of experience with farmers, you know. I'd go out and visit a farm and talk to him about this, that, and the other thing, you know, and tell him a few things. I didn't think he was getting it at all, you know. Then he'd come back a couple of months later. He said, Carol, he said, you remember what you told me up there? He said, by God, it works. You know? That's the kind of reaction you get.
Uh-huh. Was there a lot of beliefs some like wives' tale about farming? I've heard from other people that farmers many times were very superstitious in what they believed.
Oh, they are a little bit, but that wasn't too bad. You know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you find them a little stubborn, you know, they want to do it their way, it's all right, you know, but use the time. Some of these farmers, well, you in all the communities, you'd have some father that would cooperate with you, you know. And here's a guy over there who's stubborn. He wouldn't take anything. But he looks over the fence, you know, and sees this man here. He gets his information, you know, and how much, see what he's doing, how much better his crops are than the other. Well, this guy's doing it, you know. Indirect, you know, that's the way it works sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they pick it up and sit around the feed store, you know, on a rainy day. And the one good farmer's to talk about this, the other fellow pick it up, you know. And they read it through agricultural magazines and things like that's all good information, you know. Mm-hmm. That's where they get it. There are a few stubborn ones, yeah, sure. You can, some of them always worrying, don't you? You know, one old fella. Well, the soil conservation program that we started years ago, and now it's strip copping, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Soil Conservation Service Agency down here operates it, you know. And I was talking to a farmer at a meeting one time, and he said, talking about these saving the land, you know, and stop the erosion, you know. And he said, hell, Carol, he says, I'm only 60 years old. He said, I've worn out 3 farms in my lifetime, you know. That kind of an attitude, worn out. See, then he goes by another one, you know. But you catch it. A good farmer, a good, honestly, garden farmer, he won't stay on poor land. He gets to the poor land. You know, he's getting away to the better land, you know. Mm-hmm. And the poor farmer, he's he stays on that land trying to eke out an existence, you know. And lives off the land. He lets his fences go and lets his barn go, you know, lets his soil go to eke out a living, see, mm-hmm. instead of progressing. You run into a few of those. I could show you areas of the county now that are just that way, you know, just mm-hmm. existing there. And the good farmers, they won't stay there. They'll move to good land where they could jump in and do things in a modern way and make some money out of it, see? Mm-hmm.
Was this a very rich area for farmland?
Yeah, this is a good area for farmland. Harford County, Baltimore County, Frederick, and Carroll County, a little bit in Washington County, all highly productive land. Mm-hmm. This, I think the average corn production here in Harford County is about as third or fourth of any county in the United States. Good production, good fertile land, and good producing land. Good yields, see? Mm-hmm. The yields are tremendous. Used to be if you had 20 bushels a week to the acre, you had a good yield. See, now with increase in fertilizer and tillage and improvement in the breeding of crops, see, now they get 35, 40, 50 bushels of the acre.
Mm.
Corn used to be, if you had 60 bushels of the acre, you had now, it's 100, 125. See, almost double in the last 20 years, see.
Mm.
Through improvement, plant breeding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The researchers have had new varieties of crops, increasing the adaptability of fertilizers,
mm-hmm.
see, and soil tests and things like that, and harvesting methods. It's tremendous, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, some of these farms in the county really put out tremendous production, and it could, because all the improvements in the last 20, 25 years, you mm-hmm. know. It's been a pleasure to sit and watch it improve that way, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, she got
mine. Well, what about the area? Were there very in areas of the county that were specially for a certain crop or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah.
What? No. What was that like?
Well, the northern part of the county, from Darlington clear on around to Charlottesville, was mostly dairy production, see, and corn production. Down you go out to Churchville from here to Amity Grace was mostly tomatoes and sweet corn on that flat land, but they seem to grow better. Down at Aberdeen, that was the greatest sweet corn production area in the United States there. There was Smith Michael and Charlie Osborne and Silver and Stockham and Mitchell. All had big canning houses down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 5,000 acres of sweet corn in that area. Great sweet corn production area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd grow sometimes two crops. They'd grow peas and they'd put it in sweet corn grow. Canny area down there. That is only one canner left down there. That's Parker Mitchell. He's the only one left. The other fellas are all out of the picture, you know. Either went bankrupt or nobody to take over or something like that, you know. And, well, around here it was, corn production, hay production, dairy cows. Get it down around Folsom, you get into a little livestock production, beef, cow, and sheep. It's down around Folsom, see, areas of the way up Norrisville, along the Pennsylvania line up there, Charlottesville, Norrisville, northern end of the county, bordering on Baltimore County, was crop production, corn and wheat, and they had a lot of hog production up there, and beef cattle up in that area, see. They were a little bit, well, mostly because they weren't near any means of transportation for the dairy business. See, away from the railroad and couldn't ship them out. Truck production hadn't come into the picture yet, see.
Mm-hmm.
And Maryland, Pennsylvania Railroad, all up along the railroad, Lord bless it, everybody up there was in the dairy business, you know, shipping on the railroad to Baltimore City, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same way down, a few down the lower end of the county, but mostly it was canning crops down there, tomatoes and sweet corn in that area of the county, see.
Hmm.
Poultry, we used to have a lot of poultry, you know, family flocks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to hunt for a family flock of chickens. You got to hunt for a hog. People don't even raise their own pigs anymore, you know, for food.
Hmm.
You got to hunt for it. It's only, well, around Darlington, there's up in there, that was away from the transportation, too, you know. They had livestock and hogs and tomatoes up in that exit. Holloway's up there, and some of those other boys are still in the livestock business.
Mm-hmm.
Beef cattle, you know, beef cattle breeding herds, fattened steers for market, and hog production. They're still in the business and doing real well, see. But mostly the dairy business has been the profitable end in Harford County over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
A fella could make more money out of milking cows than anything else he could do on a farm, you know, which is the change, of course.
Mm.
Big farms, family farms. And fortunately, the young folks in the county are taking over the family farms, and they're still good, you know, substantial. I could name you 100 of them around where the children have taken over the farm, and the old man just sits there and retires, you know, and the kids run it, which is good, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got in mind.
Well, I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about any particular farms that you brought to mind that you thought, you know, were interesting, or any stories.
Any particular
about
what?
Any particular farmers that, you know, come to mind as you remember a story about, or, you know, has something you want to tell. particularly about?
Oh, I don't know. There's been a great many of them. Well, big farmers. Over around Falsa neighborhoods, a fellow there named Charlie Rutledge, he died a couple of years ago, and he left about 600 acres to his family over there. He was one of the most progressive farmers in that end of the county, and a good one, you know, and a good one. He was one of the smartest fellows. He could tell you what he's going to plant in each of those fields for the next 2 years. He's thinking that far ahead, you know. And he accepted modern improvements and suggestions and information and carried it out on his farm, see. I know we used to, well, one means of education we have farm tours, you know, in different areas of the county. We invite the farmers out to make a farm tour, see, and we'd take them to these various farms that had been carrying out the policies and the things that the Extension Service was recommending, you know. We'd always take them to Charlie Rutledge's farm, you know. And one of the farmers said to me one time, he said, "Hap," said, "why do you always bring us here to this farm?" I said, "Well," I said, "take a look at that alfalfa. See, did you ever see anything like that in this end of the county, as good as that?" No one even did. I said, "Well," I said, "here's what he did, see, to make it that way. Now you fellas can do the same thing, but there it is." See, take him over here. Look at that corn over there. You ever see corn like that on a farm, you know? Take him around, show him some farm buildings, you know. Here's a fellow put up a modern dairy barn and fishing method. Take the farmers there and show them, you know. See, here you are. This, and here's all the...
You're doing a good job.
And you'll find them in various sections of the county. Well, up at the Highland neighborhood, it was James Galbraith, his son's still farming a place up there. Gladden Davis, who was his farm, his son is still operating the farm up there. The Whiteford Packing Company is still operating up there. The Whitefords run the farm. So they were just outstanding people, you know, that did the right thing. Did the right thing. And they were kind of what we call them as farm leaders, you know. In other words, we want to have a meeting over there, we'd get a hold of him, you know. He'd invite the farmers in, you know. Work that way with organizations, and we have meetings around the county that way, you know. We've had a lot of fun, different things. And some people say we're regular, like a regular fire department, you know. Something happened over here, we go out and put fire out, you know. Something over here. Well, a couple of years ago, when we used to grow a lot of tomatoes in the county, there was a disease developed, came up from the south with a wind occurrence or something, and a tomato late blight. And lo, in the middle of tomato season, here everybody's tomato just went to pieces. You know, what the hell is this all about? You know, tomato late blight. Well, we had to get the farmers together and tell them what it was, show them what it was, you know. Start a spray program to control it. Say, next year we put a spray program in and control it, and then I'm in trouble. Same way with insects on crops. Japanese beetle, corn borer, you know, alfalfa weevil, and things like that, you know. Have to develop a spray program and teach the farmers how to control those insects, see, to be able to get a good, successful crop. And those things were fascinating. And in each community, there was always one fellow who was kind of he's an optimist, you know. He'd do what you told him, see. We'd take him out there, and then it was successful. You'd invite the farmers in, leer at him, see what does, you know. Education that way, through demonstration, you know. With people, that's the way. And the home demonstration agent, home economics, you know, she'd do the same thing with homemaking and methods and things like that, you know, household equipment and foods and all that kind of stuff. The 4-H Club come along, they introduce it in the same way. Get the kids interested in farming operation. He has his own calf, you know, and he raises it, belongs to the herd. Mm-hmm. Work him up to the family farm, you know, and get him interested in agriculture, yeah. Oh, it's a great thing. And we had a well right around here. So Clyde Spencer out here and Dick Street, marrying the daughter, you know, he had a canning operation there. And he was one of these good fellas that grow things. And go down around Folsom, there was George Smith and his nephew still operating that farm down at Folsom, doing all right. You go down to Emerton Way, the Roy Brooks and family down there still on that little bit of a farm. And over at the Monmouth farm over the hill there, you know, get down to Edgewood, some of the Highs and the Sniffies and the Lances. See, those fellas still on those farms down there. They're the leaders. See, they're making money on those farms. Of course, most of it's sold out for Edgewood and Joppatown Development. You know, Andy Laura down there, for instance, has that orchard down there next to Edgewood. See, grows fruit. He's one of the best leaders down there. See, Andy was a good fellow. He's smart, you know. He'd go out, "Well, you dumb farmers, why the hell don't you do it right?" See, that's the way he'd tell him, you know. That's the way we'd get it across. He's still one of our best friends. There's a lot of them out of Churchville. There's the Umbargers out there. Steve Close and Paul Harlan own those big farms out there. And some of the Todds are still there, you know. Big farms, big operations, doing all right. See, outstanding people. And you go up around Hyle, you go up around Darlington, the Holloways are still there, you know. And the Jordans, who runs that canning house, the only tomato canning house left in the county, down there at the Stafford Road, you know, down level. Oh boy, a lot of them. It was interesting, you know. Some of this stuff ought to be recorded, see? Information, you know, and experiences, see? Because, you know, it's be soon forgotten, see?
Yes.
Well, I was just thinking, the leaders that were, the fellas that were leaders when I first came up there, of course, a little older than I was, you know. Got along fine, worked right with them, you know. Now they're all gone, you know. Not any of them left. They're all gone. See, the sons are taking over, fortunately, but the new people in extension office, Lynn Warm and the rest of them, you know, they're coming working with this new generation of farmers, you know, which is good. I go out there now, they don't know who in the hell I am, see, or what the experience is. When I talk about this, that, and the other thing, you know, depression, all that, you know, but yeah, in the, looking up the history and the statistics, in a period from 1895 up to 1905, see, 80% of the tomatoes that were canned in the United States were canned here in Harford County. 80% of them, see, and then it began to fade out of the picture, see. Now, I guess the early canning of sweet corn was down at Perryman and Aberdeen down there, you know, until they began to move west, Indiana and Ohio, see. Now you can't find any tomatoes, see, but that's the way it ended. Oh, Harford County, I guess. Frederick County's larger than Harford, and so is Carroll County, larger county than Harford County. But I think it may be Harford County produces just about as much milk as either one of those counties, you know, because of the efficiency of the production here, see. Now they have big herds. They don't pasture the cows and then put them in pens and feed them on ancillaries and dry hay and stuff like that, you know, concentrated efficiency in the milking parlors, you know, and self-feedings and things like that. They built them well. They have the silos over here with the automatic feeder, and then they got a hay mow over here with automatic feeder, see. And they go in the milking parlor and get milk and go over here and eat salad and go over here and eat hay and go over there and get a drink of water and sit in the shade and maximum production, you know, with the least effort. See? Efficiency, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Yeah. And there's a great bunch of people in Harford County. It's a shame that you, a lot of people we do and work with, they're gone, you know. I go to my church over here. I used to know 80% of the people in church. Now I go there, I know about 10. So you have twice as many people. You know that. Where do you live, Bel Air?
In Howard Park.
You live in Howard Park? Oh, well. Yeah, that used to be Fritz Kelly's apple orchard, you know. I'd come out here and go down Fritz, you know, and these apples, you know, and we'd bring the specialist out here from the university. We'd send him the spray programs and watch him, you know, and he'd pick his apples, and he had a little packing house up on the hill there, you know. Rich Kelly, yeah. Apple orchard. This was a pasture when I moved in here. I should have bought it, you know, instead of bought it from Howard O'Neill, instead of bought it and let somebody else buy it, and now they make money off it. Of course, there wasn't a tree here on this street when I built this house at 48. There wasn't a tree along here. This was part of the pasture, you know, and they made this street down here. And now look at the trees, see? It changes. Howard Park, same way. You know? That's a nice area over there, Howard Park, yeah.
Well, now, do you remember any special times or year, you know, years that were either real good or real bad, like for droughts or rainy spells?
Oh, yeah. oh boy, I can't remember the particular years, but it was long about 1929 or 30. We had an awful dry year here, and it was terrible. And the people just hunting for stuff, but they shipped in hay from out in the west, you know. The mm-hmm. milk organizations send buyers out there, and they bring in carloads of hay to feed these cows, you know. They were feeding them everything under the sun to just pound it along. The pastures were going, and it was kind of a tough year. I think it was about 1929 or 1930. Mm. And of course, we've had rainy spells too to drown out all the crops, you know. Especially when you get a spell down there trying to. The boys would go in with hand to pick out sweet corn, you know, pick it by hand, pull it off the stalk, you know, mm-hmm. throw it in the wagon. And Lord bless it, with mud going through there. They couldn't get through the mud and couldn't pick the corn, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they have these combines that go through with a great big tractor and husk it off the stalk, you know. That's a tremendous improvement. Mm-hmm. Well, during the Depression, following the Depression, 1929 started, and you got 30, 31, 32, you know. Things are pretty tough around here. The bank failures in the county, a lot of farmers got hurt, you know. And as I said, the farm family had gone to the city to work. They came out to live on a farm to get enough to eat, you know. They couldn't find any money. And the bank failures had hurt a lot of them. Mm. Well, here in Harford County, the old Harford Bank down there where they turned down the Masonic Temple, see, in 29 when Roosevelt closed up all the banks. That thing failed. Never did open up. There was a Farmers Merchants Bank in there where Melvin Johnson's office is now, see. And the First National Bank, that was the Second National Bank. Those things closed up. The Farmers Merchants Bank and Second Bank, they joined together to form the First National Bank, see. And, boy, I had my money in the Farmers and Merchants Bank, had a little savings account, and owned some stock. See, when that bank closed, thank God I had $15 in my name. I lost all my savings account in that bank, and they paid me 10 cents on a dollar in my checking account, and I owned $600 worth of stock, and I had to cough up another $600 to pay the stock, see. I had $15 in my name. That's all the money I had in the world. See? People don't know that, see? Mm-hmm. Then the banks would get opened up. Fortunately, at that time, I was getting part of my salary from the county, see? And old man Ed Snodgrass, father of the boy Tom Snodgrass, who's the director of the Commercial Savings Bank, he was a treasurer, you know. I went over to Ed and I said, I'm broke. I said, can you give me a little money on my salary? Yes, he said, he'd give me $10, $15. I'd pay my board. I wasn't married at the time. I'd pay my board and buy a little gasoline, you know. It was tough. And Forest Hill Bank wasn't even in operation. And at Delta Bank, it blew up and never did open up. Harford Bank, man, they lost all the money in that bank. But the Commercial and Savings Bank was a small little bank in the old Masonic Temple, just one run about as big as this, you know. Mm-hmm. And it opened up 100% 3 days later. Didn't lose a nickel. See? I looked back and I said, that a board of directors there, 8 people, I knew 5 of them, mm-hmm. about as tough and hard-boiled and conscientious group of men I ever saw in my life, you know. That's why the bank opened up 100%, see? Mm-hmm. I said, that's where I want to put my money, put in that bank, see? And you see where it is. They had their annual meeting today, you know. Mm-hmm. Biggest private bank in the county, doing all right. Hmm. That was kind of tough, those kind of things.
Well, how did the farmers react to losing their money?
Well, I don't know. They seemed to get along. Some of them lost their money, you know. But they'd go borrow money from the bank and wait till the next milk check came, you know. And they struggled through somehow. They struggled through, yeah. It was tough. But of course, you, for instance, you know, you don't remember that, see? You don't remember that. And none of the other fellas remember this. I talked to them about the Depression, you know. Funny thing, I was on a marketing tour. The Extension Service sponsored a marketing tour for farmers. And we went to New York on a B&O Railroad, the Agriculture Department. The B&O Railroad took them all up to New York to study the markets in New York. See? And we went around to the egg auction, the produce auction, different like that. And then as a feature one afternoon, we were supposed to go down and go through the New York Stock Exchange, see? And it was on the 19th of October, 1929. See, when the stock market blew up, we were right there in that Union Stock, in that New York Stock Exchange, you know, and the vice president came down, he said, boys, he said, hell's busted loose. He said, you can't, under God's world, get into the stock and we're in today. Everything gone to pot. Oh, we don't know what in the hell. It blew up right in the face. See, the farmers, they didn't mean much to them because none of them had any stock anyway, you know. So we went down to the Battery and saw the fish down at the New York Battery instead of going to New York Stock. I remember that just as well.
Hmm.
And those things were tough at that time. They were tough. People on the street selling apples up in New York City, nickel a piece, you know, selling apples, you know.
Hmm.
And Roosevelt came along, you know, with his NRA, National Recovery Administration, and when things started picking up. And then they had a Civilian Conservation Corps. Well, following our World War II here in the county, see, they had a lot of veterans and had a farm labor camp up in the county, see, farm labor. They had these old veterans, you know, from the Army. They didn't have anything to do, and they had a job, so they built these camps and had them up there in a camp, and they'd put them around on the farms to carry out the soil conservation program in the county. You know, they'd go out on the farms and work and support these old veterans up there. Then that went out of the picture, and then he started labor during the war when the kids went off to war, you know, World War II. We were short of labor, see, so they imported a bunch of Jamaicans and Bahamans, moved them in here, you know, put them up in that labor camp. And we had, oh, there was 600 of them up there at the time. And the farmers would go get them, pick them up, work on the farm, take them back, you know, pay them so much an hour. See? And that was quite a program to run that. I know they had a labor camp up there.
Where was it at?
Black Horse. You know where Black Horse is? Mm-hmm. Right in behind Black Horse. The buildings are all torn down there on Clifford Smith's farm up there, Black Horse. They rented the land from the fella that owned that farm up there. I can't think of his name. Rented the land from it. The Army built these wooden barracks, you know. We had 600 of them up there. After the Army gave it over, then the county formed a little county cooperative. We bought the buildings from the Army or gave them to them, you know. And then we started the labor camp up there. Had a man up there, and then farmers would go get them. One time we were using 600 laborers up there, and a lot of German war prisoners they had down at Edgewood, see? And you'd farm them out on the farms. Farms would go down and get a load of them, you know, work on the farms here, you know. We were using 600 from up to Bahama niggers up in the Black Horse camp, Bahamas and Jamaicans. And we were using 200 war prisoners from Edgewood. And then he had some over at Bainbridge. See, we got about 100 from Bainbridge. Working on the farms here in Harford County, you know, during the war when the kids were away. Production keep up, you know.
Hmm.
Well, that was a problem to work that program. And of course, the Extension Service representing the Department of Agriculture said, oh, yeah, you could run it. So, well, they turned it over and let us run it, you know. Boy, that was a job. And the first thing, when they used those German prisoners out of Edgewood, see, first time you had to have six, see, and then they'd send a guard with them. Man with a rifle, take him out of the farm, you know. And then they got so that you could get as many as you want, and they didn't send any guard with them, you know, which was pretty good. I remember when up at our 4-H Club camp, we were doing some work up there. I went down one time, got four of them to help out plant trees and clean up, you know. I talked to one fellow. He was captured in the Battle of the Bulge over there, you know. And 4 days, within 4 days after he was captured, he was working on the farm here in Harford County. 4 days.
Oh.
They capture a bunch of them, take them down to Cecil, put them on a ship them here to New York, send them out to these camps. Oh, he's working on the farm. 4 days after he's captured, he was fly him over here, you know. He was working on the farm here in Harford County. A lot of them were good farmers. Oh, you had electricians and builders and carpenters, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of them were the one where the dam, because they, you know, there were tailors and storekeepers, and they didn't know anything about farming, but they worked. They could have, you could you work them, I think, 8 hours as long as you could. You'd go down in the morning, get them, take them home, you know. They'd bring the lunch with them, and you weren't supposed to give them anything to eat, but all the farmers gave them something, you know, work them down. And if you, the farmers, they'd go down, had a lot of work to do. Every day they'd go down and get six of them, you know. And then finally they'd find who were the best workers, you know. I don't want you to borrow, you know. And they'd go down to the top sergeant who would dish the fellas out, you know, give him a cigar, and I want so-and-so. And the first thing you know, he'd come out with four best men. You know, you know, there's always ways of working it,
uh-huh.
which was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had a lot of problems.
Hmm. That's amazing.
So, what were the outstanding things? I don't know.
Well, I was curious, too, about the prohibition.
The what?
Do you remember much about prohibition?
Prohibition in the county?
Did you have any? I know Internal Revenue is the department that had to, you know, make sure to go through. There weren't any stills or anything. Was that any? Did you ever have
no,
to do?
No, didn't have anything to do with that. You know, I know there was a lot of several stills in Harvey County.
I thought you might know.
Yeah, I didn't know them until they discover them, you know. One over at Jarrettsville, right in the town there, a fella had it in his silo, you know. He was in there 2 years before they caught him. Well, maybe this shouldn't be on the record. It was a fella named Ed Marshall, who the opera used to run there. He was kind of a runner for bootlegging. He'd let somebody else make it. He'd run it to those big clubs in New York. And he had a farm outside of Forest Hill up here, you know. And he was a pretty good sort of a chap. We got caught down in Virginia trying to influence a judge on something to put him in jail for a year. But he had a farm up here. He said, Hap, said, come on out to the farm. I want to ask you some questions. I said, all right. I said, out with you. So that afternoon, he picked me up, you know. On the way out, I said, Ed, I said, you ever get a hold of any corn liquor? I like to have a little bit, you know. Me? No, indeed. I never have anything to do with that. And I said, okay. So we went into the farm and looked all around, you know, and on the way out, he stopped at the hay barracks. He said, I got some hay over here. I want to see if it's cured, see? And he went on the hay barracks. After a while, he came back with a half a gallon jar of corn liquor and gave it to me, you know. Had it stored under the hay. But no, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Uh-huh.
The problem we had early in the year, maybe you run into it, that, when I first came to 25, 26, 27, 28, there was a tremendous influx of Southerners to the county, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the Carolinas, Galax, Virginia, you know. And some of them are still our best farmers, the Umargers and the Tides and all those fellows are still, they're Southerners, all came out here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every week there was a fellow named Edward used to run a bus down to Carolina to bring up farm labor, you know. Park him at the courthouse every Tuesday morning. He'd arrive with this busload of farmers, you know, moving up here from the south.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there wasn't anything due down there, and this is a more prosperous country. You come up, you see them unload. Some of their friends or relatives pick them up until they get a job for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of animosity between the local native people and the Southerners, you know, because they brought the customs and everything with them, you know. And there were some of them were bootleggers and things like that. And a lot of animosity, you know, a lot of fights going on in between them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after they begin to grow up and go through our schools, see, and adopt the modern stabs, and then they would intermarry, you know, with things like that. Now you know, and they know things about it. And some of our good citizens are Southern extraction, you know,
mm-hmm.
The Omargers and the Hacketts and the Todds and the Whalings and the Greers. See,
mm-hmm.
They're all Southern extraction down
mm-hmm.
Southwest Virginia and the Carolinas down that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have some, there was a lot of animosity when they first came up here, you know. And there had a couple of fights going on, mm-hmm. see, between them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
remember Dr. Vanberger, you know, old Vanberger, half George Vanberger's place. Well, his father, but I think there's, I don't know whether they're natives or not, you know, Vanberger, and he made some slurring remarks about some of the Southerners, you know. My God, they were going to lynch old man Vanberger. If it hadn't been for Greer up here, see, old man Greer, he was quite influential, and he kind of quieted it down because he was a friend of Dr. Vanberger, see, and it kind of quieted it down. It kind of blew over, you know, but it was touching.
Hmm.
Of course, they brought a lot of old Southern practices with them, way to do farming, build fences and wires, you know, and they say you use the skull hogs in the bathtub, you know, and they put the wife's picture in the toilet seats and all that kind of stuff, you know. It accused them of scalding hogs in the bathtub in the house, you know. Terrible to have a bathroom. Come inside, take a crap, you know. Go out in the river, you know. Terrible. It's unsanitary to have a bathroom in the house, you know. After they brought a lot of sick with them, you know. But they found it out really and everything. But a lot of fun. Okay, what else you got, man? your secretary, you're going to have a time transcribing that.
It's going to be fun. Well, now, when you first came to Harford County, what about the actual farming techniques? Were people using horses and
cattle? Oh, yeah. When they come up here, they were using horses. Very few farmers ever had a tractor. Only the most progressive. And there wasn't 25 tractors in the county when I forget. Did all with horses.
Hmm.
Horses. And some of them had oxen. See, oxen. So up around Chestnut Hill, Maine, Byer up there had oxen. Holloway had his oxen. Another up at Norrisville, he had oxen, did the plowing and worked with oxen, you know. But mostly horses. That's good horses here, too. All done with horses.
Hmm.
Horses.
And were the farmers, did they take pretty good to as change came about with...
It was slow. It was slow, see. But they took to it pretty well, see. They bought the tractors, first the old Fortson and the International. John Deere tractors came out with these iron wheels on them, you know, and then they began to put rubber tires on tractors, and then they bought some of those, you know. And the farmer said, I don't want one of those things, that old rubber tire packed my soil now, so it never would be any good. And, yeah, I grew that too, you know,
mm-hmm.
Advance in farm machinery. Yeah.
Hmm.
They were slow taking to it, you know, but they did. And then they begin to buy trucks to haul stuff around, you know. Some of the old timers tell me that they had horses when there's snow come in Bel Air, you know, in the early 1910 to 15, they'd have sleigh races up and down Main Street, you know, with the cutters, you know, and the horses. They were sleigh riding up and down Main Street in Bel Air there, you know.
Hmm.
The old country club being down here where the Poland's is now, you know, motor sales bought that. Where the Safeway store is now, that was the old Kenmore Inn, the big hotel there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a popular place. Of course, people coming from having a great race tack to Baltimore, they'd stop in there and have dinner at the old hotel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Well, now, of course, today you could say that farmers are in a minority in this county, yeah. But back then, would you say that most of the leading citizens and the majority of the people around here were farmers?
Farmers, yeah. Farmers and a few lawyers and some of the few storekeepers were prominent. Most of them were, the leaders were all the agricultural people, predominantly agriculture. Farmers in the county, predominantly agriculture. That's about the only income that was in the county, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No other thing. This factory out here didn't come along until later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only money there was in it was from agriculture. And it was quite prominent.
Hmm.
The bankers and things like that were all farmers, agricultural people, you know, some merchants, agricultural merchants, you know,
mm-hmm.
Fertilizers, farm machinery salesmen, McComas brothers out here at the railroad track, and where Southern States is. That was quite a big operation there, McComas's. Four brothers ran that up where they were so fertilizing, farm machinery, and feeds and seeds, and they had a sawmill there, I mean, kind of a carpenter mill, you know, with it, soft lumber, things like that. There's quite an operation.
Mm-hmm.
It went out of the picture, you know. Mm-hmm. The Comuses are all gone now. place is still in the hands of one of the boys, but it's rented out to these other places. Record Mill down here, you know, where Smith Waller's is now.
Mm-hmm.
Bel Air Farm Supply, they call it. That was a record mill. Great big flour mill there, you know. The farmers would haul the wheat in there and bring it in with railroads around Pennsylvania, store it up in that great big old building and grind flour and ship it to Baltimore on a train. Yeah, that was an operation there when I remember.
Well, yeah. What about the other mills in the county? Were people still using them to grind?
Still using them. A lot of grist mills in the county. And a few of them still operate, but not many of them. There was a bunch of them in the county. Oh, I don't know, they had feed mills that grind up the feed, and then they had some, what they call woolen mills, and it had something to do with sheep and wool, you know, and things like that. And sawmills in the county, they had a lot of those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very few mills operating anymore, you know, water power mills. It's Smith Waller's mill up there at Forest Hill, going out towards 80, that's still operating. I think there's a mill way up and down in Norrisville is still operating, water power. And of course, the mill in the state park down in Lapidum, Rock Run Mill, it operates, but not commercially, it's just a curiosity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're still operating. Mills, there were a lot of them in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there must have been 35, 40 mills in the county operating by water power, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of them are steam, most of them are water power. Sawmills, feed mills, grinding flour and corn, things like that.
Now, I had understood places like that were a place for a lot of the farmers to congregate, you know, particularly in bad weather, or to bring their foods in and sort of get sort of a social event.
That's right. It was around there. The mills and, of course, the local store where they sell farm supplies. Went on a rainy day and they had benches all around with a sawdust box in the middle for spitting tobacco and an old pot-bellied stove, you know. And you're out to visit with them, see. I'd go out and stop in the store. Here was a bunch of them. Come on in, have some. I know. Well, we talk, you know. And you get across a lot of education work with a bunch of farmers like that, you know. Hi, Joe. Hi, Tom. It was, you know, now you don't have any more of that anymore, of course. Whatever the good old, you know, very fundamental, down-to-earth people, you know, that didn't have much and didn't need much because there were needs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow said, what I need, I can buy at the local store, and what he didn't have, I can pretty well get along with that. See, that's their philosophy, see.
Uh-huh.
Which worked all right. It's a great bunch of people.
Mm. Were there any farmers that you remember that became active in politics and elected officers, officials?
Well, let's see, you know, who they were. Yeah, a lot of them, farmers. Well, most of the county operators, county commissioners, before we had this modern. Well, most of the county commissioners are some. Clyde Spencer out here, Fred Whaling from Darlington, you know, and Sam Magnuson down at Emerson. He was a canner. And Bailey, down level, he was a farmer down there. And a lot of them, yes. Now, as far as being active in the legislature, Billy James, see, his father was a farmer down there, see, mm-hmm. Down in Haverty Grace. Still owns that big farm down there near the racetrack, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was not a farmer himself, of course, but his father had it, and he worked on a farm and knew things about the farm, and that's where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tidings had a farm down there at Haverty Grace, that big place down there, and his son still owns it.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Tidings, he was a farmer down there, you know, and Senator Tidings. Let's see, Clyde Spencer out here, the former chairman of the county. Well, Phil Amos down there, member of the legislature. One of the keenest farm boys there ever was. His father was a farmer. He was a farmer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Till he got out, you know, and some other kids at home on a farm, he had to find something else to do, see?
Mm-hmm.
So I sold farming seed for coal to Churchill Long, and he got into this Occident business. Now he's in politics. And he was outstanding man. Wallace Spencer up in Garrison, he was chairman of the fair board. He was a member of the county commission. Helton, state senator, he was a got some farm background and in the present time. Let's see. Oh, okay. Well, you're not a member of the legislature. Fielder, huh?
Oh, yeah, Fielder.
Fielder, see? Mm-hmm. He's active in a lot of things. He's got a big farm back down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous operation. He borrowed $250,000 to build that plant down there. Yeah, you know, to put that milk and pollen in there.
Uh-huh.
He was a good boy. Good boy. I helped raise his dad as a four-age club kid. You know, and then he's there.
I was thinking of the Hesses down in Boston.
Dale Hess. He's a farm family, raised up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Still owns a farm up there, you know. He was a farmer, sure.
And the Closers?
And the Closers, yeah. Yeah, Steve Close had a farm, and the other judge, bought the old Bailey farm down around Level Road, you know. Mm-hmm. They live right out here where Noyes lives now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Noyes is? That was the old Close place, you know. All the kids are raised down that farm, little Phil Close to father.
Hmm.
He was out there. Hesse, yeah, Dale Hess. In Dale now, you know. But he did good farm. He had a good farm. His whole family bought farms up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Up around there. Jarrettsville.
Hmm.
Out there, you know. Good farmers.
Mm-hmm.
His father and his uncles and all of them were farmers. Dale Hess. Let's see. John Justin was a member of the legislature. He died a couple of years ago. Farm down at Churchill, he got into the legislature. Let's see, who else? Find to tell.
Well, I'd also wondered about, did you have to talk with farmers as the developers started trying to buy their farms, you know, for development and things?
Didn't get into that very much, no. Didn't get into that too much, no. Well, the fellow that come and asked me, he said, Happy, says, I'm getting old and my boys don't want a farm and the fellow wants to buy it for development. What am I going to do? I said, sell it. And he's no other answer to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting old, the kids don't want it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, you can sell it and get a rocking chair and make more money than you make now, you know. You know, from the interest of small family farms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get into that a whole lot. Of course, it wasn't. Well, it's all happened since I left this service. I retired in 1960, and that's a long time ago. See? And most of the things have happened since then. See?
Mm-hmm.
All these big developments happened since then.
Mm-hmm.
When I left Extension, I had to find something to do. I couldn't sit around. You know, I thought, well, I'll sit around and take it easy, but that'll kill you. You can't do that. So I got a job with Paul Glack in the real estate business there, you know, see? And I worked with him for a while, which was, we had a lot of fun working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did pretty well because people in Baltimore, with those big real estate dealers down there, they'd have somebody who wanted to buy a place in Harvey County, wanted to buy a farm. They'd send them out to us, and we'd take care of them, see? But they begin to get so many increase. Now they come out here and set up their own office.
Yeah.
Greffler and all these other ones. They take the easiest paper. 5 pages of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that began to come out, I said, hell, I'm going to get out of this racket. Too much for me.
Huh.
Well, this won't be much up to you, I guess. When I had been here for 25 years, the people began to give me a little party, you know, celebration. Had a little party, and I had to make a speech, and this is a speech.
Uh-huh.
And then when I retired, they had to do another party for me. This is a speech I made for that.
Huh.
And, of course, I don't think there'd be much interest to you, but yes, you know.
Oh.
Well, there we are. is when I retired.
Oh.
That's something?
Uh-huh. Huh.
Wilson Heaps, he was the president of State Farm Bureau, you know. He's still around.
Yeah.
On the Economic Development Commission, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, Nixon, I on the curtain. Having a great record, see? President Nixon, here's my retirement here, see?
Oh. Uh-huh.
That's something. What this is. Well, we had a, I was quite pleased. There's it. Years. When I retired, they threw a party for me. Oh, it was a damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been 400 people there. I was down to Bel Air in the high school all the time.
Uh-huh.
For which I was truly thankful.
Hmm.
A lot of proclamations and things like that are all fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old paper.
Yeah, that is.
January 4th, 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is the same date, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
January 14th, 1960. Mm-hmm. But Park Stanley, that let the wolf and eat, he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
He's 86 years old.
Hmm.
As me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else can I tell you? These things you can read them if you want, but they're that much interest in them.
Well, let's see. We talked. Did you have some hard winters? Real hot, cold winters?
Oh, yes, we had a few, but I don't remember. Well, used to be, you know, the county didn't have any snow plows, see? We wouldn't plow the county roads.
Mm-hmm.
You go out in the county, the farmers had to plow the roads or they were fenced off sometimes for a week. You couldn't get through, you know.
Hmm.
Had to get along the best way they could. And the farmers in the county didn't improve the roads, see? So all the farmers would get together for a dirt road, you know, and they'd haul stone in and bust it up themselves, and the county would put a little dust on top of it and make a hard road up there in the 5th District, you know, up in that area, see?
Huh.
That's the way it worked. All the dust would get there. Well, we had a lot of snow, but they did long sometimes. Sometimes go down across the fields of the roads were plowed in, you know, so they had to go down across the fields and get to the they had receiving stations where the farmers would take the milk, you know,
mm-hmm.
before they started hauling it on the railroad. They had one at Churchville, and they had one at Dublin, and they had one at Powellsville. The receiving station owned by the dairy. Farmers would bring the milk in there, you know, and they'd dump it and then tip it all on the railroad train.
Hmm.
And they'd get there somehow or other, go across the fields, cut down fences, go through, you know. Yeah. Get stuck in the snow. Didn't plow the road. It was only recently that the county's been plowing roads. They went, well, they didn't have any hard roads. And they didn't plow them out, you know.
Hmm.
Had to get along the best way they could, you know. Farmers, that some of them had plows, you know, they're made out of these boards, these triangle things, you know, hook up the horses. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fellow had them. Well, they'd pick up this 4-horse team with a big wagon, you know, and a bunch of farmers would get on there and shovel the snow and they'd drive out and they'd shovel it after them.
Mm-hmm.
Just community activity. Oh, had a grand time. Stop in someplace and get a cup of coffee, you know. That camaraderie, you know, helping out.
Mm-hmm.
We always had poor people and somebody couldn't along, but yeah, somebody looked after him. He always took care of somebody. He did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this little East thing was a bunch of crap, you know. But always somebody took care of him. And farmers helped themselves, you know. So he gets sick, the farmers all come in, do his plow, and harvest his crop for him, you know.
Hmm.
And the neighboring farmers bring in his lunch for dinner, you know. Have a barn raising. And so his barn burned down, and he'd get a carpenter, and then they all come in and put the barn up, you know. Big timbers, you know, and barn raises. Have a good time. The women come in, serve a big dinner, you know, all community stuff. You know, didn't cost them anything, but to help the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of times. Farmers get sick and break his leg, you know. All farmers come in there and do his work for them, you know, help along. Great bunch of people, you know.
Hmm.
I'd go out in the county, Cal is getting near dinner time. Come on in, have dinner with us. You do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Now you can't do that anymore, you know. You don't know him that well. A great, great camaraderie and philosophy of the farmers, you know. The Grangers, they were, the Grangers were very active, and it was up until 1932, beginning to peter out, you know, with other things coming along. Mm-hmm. And they have eight Grangers in the county, Pomona Grange. They meet, some of them meet twice a month, some of them once a month. That 50-60-100 people in attendance, you know. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, education, camaraderie, you know, just like going to church. You know, sitting after church and talk over things, you know. Now they after church goes are gone. You know, you don't have that feeling of fellowship around that used to be here. Mm-hmm. So you just ramble along, see. That kind of stuff you want out of me?
Yeah. What about a hot summer? Do you ever remember the summers?
Oh, not particularly. We had a lot of, yes, a hot summer drought, you know, and burn up the pastures and things, but I can't recall exactly when they were, but we did have them, yes. We did have them. Mm-hmm. Hot summer.
Did you have anything to do with the Harford Fair? Harford County Fair?
Oh, heavens, yes. Yes, it did. We used to have a great big building down there, an extension service had to set up an exhibit, educational exhibit down there. And I was on the board of directors of the fair, and helped to get in the cattle to show them, you know. And then we'd have the 4-H kids down there under a big tent. We'd show the cattle and all the produce and things like that. And Harford County Fair was a great thing. So we finally petered out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They went to other places, Harford County Fair. And we used to have farm shows around the county. Every community would have a farm show, you know, just for maybe 2 days. Everybody would bring in their vegetables and crops and have somebody to judge them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A farm show, a little competition, some fellow tell how he did this, the other thing, you know. Never had any prizes, one just getting some ribbons, you know. And just community activity and friendliness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have those in a lot of communities.
Mm-hmm.
And the best ones were there. We'd go down to county fair and show the best apples and the best hay and the tomatoes and stuff like that. And potatoes and show, you know, chickens and beef cattle and dairy cattle, show those down at the fair. Yeah, great time. Then the best from there, we'd go over to the state fair at Pomona. Show them there, you know.
Hmm.
That time, yeah. Beef cattle. Oh boy, we had a lot of fun. Enjoy talking to you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Now, let's see.